Amen. Hello to those present in this room, and I should say hello to those present in their living room, or their den, or what other room in their house they're watching by way of live stream. It's good to be with you this morning, and I'm here to tell you that all of us in this room have some differences. Some of you cheer for the Buckeyes, right? That's right. I came from the Hoosier State. Amen. And no doubt there's a few in the room that come from the Spartan State, or possibly the Wolverine State. But we have some differences, but we have a lot of commonalities. And the one thing, unfortunately, that we have in common is trouble, is crisis, is disaster, sickness, and all kinds of anxieties that overwhelm us at times. We have that in common. We can't get away from it. It's true of our day, and it was true in the 1950s when our Barrackell founder, and I should explain that Phyllis and I spent many years in a camp ministry in Michigan, and our Barrackell founder had started a camp facility. He had 300 acres at that time, and he was building a camp to use as a recreational but also an educational facility to teach the Word of God. And during that time, there was nothing on the property except for an old shack. And as Johnny came to that property, there wasn't even electric on the property, if you can imagine. It was just a midst of property and here on National Forest, and so they began to build the property. In those days, it was very, very few staff, and they worked with their hands, and they worked hard, long days without electricity, if you can imagine. Well, they, a couple years into it, actually had a couple of buildings up, and one of them was the old girls' dorm. One night, Johnny got a knock on his door, and he was called to the scene of the girls' dorm, which had just been completed, and he was excited. But when he went there, guess what he discovered? The building was engulfed in flames. And here, all that he had worked so hard for was going up in smoke. And there beside Johnny was one of the staff members. And that staff member, she looked at Johnny and said, "Johnny, what you thinking?" And you know what he said to her? He said, "I think we're going to put a basement under the next building here." That was optimism in a very pessimistic situation. And that was Johnny. It was true in 1950s. It was true also in the Bible times when Psalm 46 was written. We have that in common, trouble. And how comforting it is to know personally the one who is with us, within us, to know the one who is an ever-present help when we face trouble. And this is the message of Psalm 46 this morning, that knowing God and being still before Him brings peace and rest even when the world and its people are in chaos all around us. And it's with that in mind that I just pause right now and I close my eyes and I ask, Father, that you would take the words here, that you are our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble, and you will help us to apply it to the situation that we face, that this will not just be a psalm, that this will be my song of silence. So teach us from Psalm 46. It's in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you have a Bible, and if you're not there, do open up to Psalm 46. And just by way of background, I won't say much about the background here, But you'll notice that there is a title above this psalm, which is actually verse 1 in the Hebrew Bible. And it says, to the chief musician. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah. And these are the musicians within the temple. A song of Alameth, which is probably a music style that's being referred to here. And the type of psalm this is a communal psalm, a communal song. In other words, this song is not about me, it's about we. And it was true when it was written to the community of believers, the Jewish people. But I'm glad to say that we, as the people of God, can find encouragement from Psalm 46. Now, the people in that day, the Jewish people, understood this also to be a psalm of Zion. It's one of several of the psalms that is emphasizing Jerusalem, Zion. And that's significant, and you'll begin to see as we work through this. And by the way, to the Jewish people, Jerusalem was very, very important to them. There's two sacrifices that took place in Jerusalem. Well, there were more than that, obviously, but the two that I'm thinking of, one comes from Genesis, and Abraham was called to take his son Isaac, his only son, to Mount Moriah, which is the area of Jerusalem, and offer him as a sacrifice. But you know, just in the nick of time, even as Abraham was just about ready to take the knife to his own son, God provided a substitute, a ram in a thicket. Did you know that took place in that area of Jerusalem? Fast forward from Abraham 2,000 years roughly, and you come to another sacrifice, another father, God the Father, taking his only begotten son, Jesus, and there in Jerusalem, offering his son as a substitute, not for Jesus' sin, but for our sin. Did you know that that took place in Jerusalem? And so when we call this a Psalm of Zion, this is significant to the Jewish people and to us, the Gentiles, as well. This psalm was most likely written by King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah, and he was considered a very righteous king. And the occasion that King Hezekiah was writing about may have very well been what took place in 2 Kings 18 and 19. What's taking place there is the city of Jerusalem is under siege by King Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And all around Jerusalem are 185,000 Assyrians and armies that are just waiting to take Jerusalem captive. But the walls are shut, and nobody's going in Jerusalem, and nobody's going out. It's under siege. And this is the situation that King Hezekiah is mostly writing about in this psalm, Psalm 46. All of this is significant to the overall message, to the overall theme, and we get that theme of Psalm 46 right from verse 1, where God's character is glorified and described. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So what is the theme? I describe it this way. The theme of Psalm 46 is know God as our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. You see, it's whatever trial, whatever trouble you're facing, it's essential that we know first that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We must understand his for his people. He is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. And you see, knowing him and his character will lead us to a response. And what is that response? Well, the implication of that is, no, therefore we will not fear. Now I need to pause and say that some fear is good, okay? Some fear is good. If you're hiking in the Smoky Mountains like Phyllis and I love to do, and we come around a trail and she's walking ahead of me, and all of a sudden I see her throw her hands up and scream, bah! And I kind of peek around her to see a rattlesnake in the trail, is that good fear or bad fear? Answer, it's a good fear. I don't say, Phyllis, now come on, move down the trail. This is okay. He's not going to hurt you. No, that's good fear. And you've experienced good fear. You experience it every day. It's why Pastor Adam doesn't let his kids play in the road, right? You don't let them do that. And if you do, you make precautions. You fear traffic. So there is such a thing as good fear, but the fear that's being referred to here and throughout many places of the scripture where it makes statements about trusting God and fearing not, it's a panic that comes into our life when something is out of our control. That's what's being referred to here. The result of knowing God is not fearing. It's not being overwhelmed by these circumstances that we can't control, but it is being overwhelmed by the character and goodness of a God we can know. That's the response to knowing God. It leads us to that implication of no fear, no fear. And there are some results of Psalm 46, and the psalmist leads us to recognize two extreme examples of to what extent we can trust God during these trying times. The first one is, we should know God brings peace in the storm. He brings peace in the storm. And where do I see that in this psalm? Well, it's verses 2. Starts in the end of verse 2, and it says, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And then comes that precious word, Selah, which reminds us just to pause, take a deep breath, and think about this for a minute. The psalmist wants us to think about what we might be fearing. Now, the psalmist didn't know about the coronavirus, but he knew about virus. Plagues were abundant in that day. Pestilence were a common occurrence in that day. And so were disasters. And that's one thing that the psalmist is telling us. There's no need to fear even natural disasters. Natural disasters. You have to remember that when this was written, their shelters were their homes were very soft and not built nearly like ours are today. You have to remember that. And for them, a natural disaster such as what may be referred to as a earthquake here might be referred to, or even a hurricane might be referred to here. That extreme natural disaster is something that we don't even have to fear. That's what the psalmist is telling us. By the way, let me just pause and say this about natural disasters. We don't need to fear those because God is with us. The year was 1974, and it was April the 3rd. Do you know what happened on that day? Everybody that has gray hair in the room is shaking their head, yes, and even some that don't have gray hair. because that is a very significant day to Greene County when an F5 category tornado struck Xenia. Do you know that that tornado, it was one of 148 tornadoes that occurred throughout the Midwest on April the 3rd and actually April the 4th. It was the worst outbreak of tornadoes recorded in the 20th century. And the tornado that struck Xenia, the Xenia tornado of that day, had a maximum wind of 300 miles an hour. There were more than 1,000 homes and businesses destroyed in the Xenia tornado. 33 people died in the storm and approximately 1,150 were injured in the Xenia tornado. Do I need to tell you that natural disasters cannot be controlled by man? You see, we cannot control natural disasters. And those of you who were around in 1974, you have memories of that tornado, and I don't need to explain that anymore to you, that was devastating to Greene County. And this is what the psalmist is reminding us of, reminding us that even with this extreme natural disaster, we don't need to fear because God is with us. God is with us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. And this presence of God is referred to in the psalm in verse 4 and 5 when it begins to talk about Jerusalem, the city of God. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, talking about Jerusalem. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. Okay, let's go back to the occasion that this psalm was written. Do you remember King Hezekiah? We left him, and we left the Israelites in the city of Jerusalem back in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. And around Jerusalem, as I described, are the Assyrians, 185,000 around Jerusalem. And during the night, the dark of the night, the Lord came to their rescue. God was with them, with the Israelites. And the angel of the Lord put to death 185 of those soldiers that surrounded the city of Jerusalem. God was with them. And can you imagine the scene when the Israelites got up in the morning and peeked over the wall to the enemy? And there was no movement. They said, it must be a day off. They're asleep. And when they began to explore the scene, they discovered that 185 were dead. God was with them. God was with them. That's the occasion of them. And God was with them. And the Israelites knew that Jerusalem was the place of his presence, and that's why they put the temple within the city of Jerusalem, because that represents. I'm guessing some in this room have seen the actual city of Jerusalem. And I have too, and I didn't find it all that peaceful, even though it's the city of peace. I found it to be very insecure. But this is a picture of a new Jerusalem. Do you have your Bible? And can you just pause from Psalm 46 and fast forward to the future? We've seen the past. We've seen Hezekiah. We've talked briefly about the crisis we face today. But now let's move forward to the precious promise of the Lord that there will be a new Jerusalem in Revelation 21. It's described like this. The Apostle John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And notice this, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, and neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Folks, this is a precious promise from the Lord to us, that he will be present with us. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. It's a promise that we will have a new Jerusalem, and he will be with us. Oh, and then it talks about this river in the psalm. And let me just say this, that the throne in this new Jerusalem will have a river flowing from it. It's seen in Revelation chapter 21, or no, Revelation chapter 22, it's talked about. And this is symbolic. Even as David recognized the importance of water, he longed for God's presence. And that's what this river is. It's a symbolic reference to God fulfilling us, refreshing us, much like water refreshes the thirsty soul or the thirsty body on a hot, dry day. David wrote about it this way in Psalm 63, "You are my God. Earnestly I seek for you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." You know, the Israelites rejoiced that God dwelt with them, but I'm here to tell you we can rejoice as followers of Jesus that he dwells through his Spirit within us. He's within us. They went to the temple to be close to God, but I'm here to tell you, as followers of Jesus, for those who have placed our trust in the Lord, we are the temple that he dwells within. This is a precious promise. And there is another result that's referred to in this Psalm 46. Not only is he a help in gives us peace in the storm, but knowing God brings calm in the chaos. Calm in the chaos. And it's another extreme example here from the psalmist. They knew about natural disasters, but they also understood about chaos. And we have no need to fear even natural chaos. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, it says. And this is appropriate language in our world where the nations are raging, where the kingdoms are falling. It's very appropriate. And yet we have the precious promise from the New Testament that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. The nations are in chaos, and we have no need to fear, not only because God is with us, but God is for us. God is for us. He utters his voice, the earth melts, and the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. And that's what the truth that's communicated there. It's a fortress. It's a refuge. It's where you go for protection. I'm here to tell you that God is for his people. He will be for us, and he is for us. And also, one more thing I will say here is, we don't need to fear because God is the victor. God is the victor. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God is for us. He is the victor. And these examples of natural disasters and national chaos gives us great assurance that whatever we are facing right now, God is with us, God is for us, and he is the victor. All of this brings us to a couple of lessons from Psalm 46. And I want you today to rest assured that God will receive all the glory and all the exaltation. And that's the message of this key verse in the psalm, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We can rest assured that he will receive all the glory and all the exaltation. By the way, notice this is first person here. God is speaking. This is a direct quote from God himself. And he gives us two commands in this verse. One is, be still. That's not an option. It's an imperative. Be still. Be still. Quit your panic fretting over the trial you're facing. I am in control, God is saying to us. I can't overemphasize that in a world that's in chaotic panic right now. And it's not just without on the outside of the church, it's within the church. We need to take that serious. We need to make Philippians 4, 6, and 7 our prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it doesn't stop there, because it tells us, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Not only do we need to be still and submit to his reign in our world and in our lives, but we need to know and understand his authority and character. Understand his authority and character. God is good all the time. All the time. This is his character. The scriptures tell us to understand his character. And God's word and God's people, his church, help us understand that truth. I don't know how committed you are to the scriptures in your personal life, but if we want to overcome fear, word, to be still and know, committed to his church, his people, and we need to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And then two more things as we close. I will mention that we should beware of God's power. We should beware of God's power. He is an all-powerful God. The theologians use the word omnipotent, all-powerful. Oh, he is all-powerful. When was the last time you sat under the stars and contemplated his power to create the universe? If he can create the stars and number and name them, he can handle our little problems along the way. And then one more thing, a good lesson for us to learn in Psalm 46 is God's people should not only beware of his power, but we should be aware of his presence. You can't see God. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. But he is present with us, and that's a reoccurring theme in Psalm 46. And I invite you to know he is present with you. I invite you to overcome fear by meditating on his presence with you. Maybe you think, what are you talking about? That might be an indication that you don't know him. And if there's any question about you knowing the Lord, we invite you to consider him. We also invite you to, for those in the room who may know him but may be overwhelmed by panic or fear at this time, I invite you to consider some resources. And one of them is just a little pamphlet that Phyllis reminded me of. It's Why Worry? And that was called Why Worry? And if you'd like information about this, talk to Phyllis or I, and we'll tell you how you can get a copy of that for yourself. But there are some resources out there. Another one will happen tonight when you gather with family life groups. By the way, is there a Zoom family life group tonight? We invite you to join a group tonight and contemplate this truth that knowing God and being still before him brings peace and rest even when the world and its people are in chaos all around us. Would you do this? Will you pause and close your eyes? And even as I pray aloud, the worship team can make their way to the platform. I think of a couple of things, but I think of the very end of Revelation, where there's three statements about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Three times it says, I am coming soon. Today, we can find comfort that not only is he with us by way of his Spirit, but one day we will be in his presence. We will see the Savior face to face. And I thank you, Father, for the reminder of Psalm 46, that you are present with us, that you are a refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. And we long to see you face to face, the one who saves us by his grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.